With 25% off all new and up to 70% off previously leased furnishings, do you really need a better reason to party? We don't think so. Come visit our new Court Furniture Clearance Center with more than 9,000 square feet of new and previously leased furniture and decor for your home and office. Sofas from $199.99, bedroom sets from $399.99, dining sets from $299.99, and more. Free food, prizes, and fun all weekend long at our Chandelier Court Furniture Clearance Center at 13946 Lee Jackson Memorial Highway, or go online at courtclearancefurniture.com.
What's up, campers? Welcome to the 163rd episode of the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast. This is the pre-Thanksgiving episode. I will be about 10 pounds lighter during this episode. And then next week, I'll be a fatty boomblatty because I will probably eat too much and drink too much and just watch football. I don't know what I'm going to do on the weekend because the Bears are playing Thursday. I might get a lot of stuff accomplished. I might work off all the food that I have eaten. I'm Matt Sardo, by the way, the founder of Monkeys Fighting Robots. Just in case you're a new listener, I appreciate you stopping by and checking out this episode because I'm you know, as always, I'm super excited to talk to you guys. But the Bears are 7-3, and I'm, you know, this is going to be crazy shit if they beat the Lions in a couple days, because then it'll be 8-3 and almost guaranteed to make the playoffs. So I'm running an NFL Bears, Chicago Bears high right now. That's unstoppable. And as the Lawrence Holmes says, retweets of the podcast are way more important than you hitting that little heart button. And I really appreciate you hitting that heart button. And I do feel that love. But if you want more people to listen to this podcast, hit the retweet. You know, and just even if you hit a comment, that'd be even better, you know. But I'm totally stealing that remark from Lawrence Holmes in Chicago. And you should totally check out his podcast, House of L. It's really good. It's one of the better podcasts that has debuted this year. And if you like sports, and he's just a good... He's a really good interviewer. Like, he's one of my idols when it comes to interviewing people, because he's just really, he's got a good passion, and he's also a super nerd as well. So I like that too. House L podcast, Lawrence Holmes, check it out. This week, we are reviewing Die number one from Image Comics and Prodigy number one from Image Comics / Netflix. And these all come out December 5th. These two books are, I got to sit up. I got too excited. These two comics are amazing. I'm really stoked about what's going on in these two comics. One is by Mark Millar, who I haven't read anything from him in a while. And the other one's by Kieran Gillen. And I've never been like a huge fan. I've been like indifferent about Kieran. So this is the first time that he's really impressed me with a book. And Die number one, it's a new ongoing series from Image Comics, and it comes out December 5th. And the concept is like D&D Jumanji. I mean, Kieran describes it as a goth Jumanji. But it's closer to D&D because they were playing D&D in the 90s, and then they all disappear and then come back and some crazy shit happens. And I don't want to spoil it for you. But this is the heavy one for me. Out of the two of them, this is the heavy one for me because I'm in my 40s. I'm 42 now. I'm 42 and I had to just stop. I was like, don't have the heart attack now. But this book is about a bunch of teenagers that did something in the 90s, and there was some tragedy, and they're all screwed up now in their 40s. And now they got to revisit that and try to survive. And with the title like Die, I'm assuming that it's going to be more of a horror story and people are going to bite the big one right away. But with it, I have this theory that this generation or my generation is not prepared for their 40s. The 40s now is completely different than the 40s of the previous generation or the previous generations before that, because you used to just work at your job. You know, you put your 20 year, you know, you put your time in, you know, and then you retire and go from there. But now that, you know, and this has slowly happened over time, but like corporations don't give a shit about you right now at all. And I mean, this is just common knowledge. So if you try to do what your parents did before and you get out of college and you put 20 years in a company, you're probably going to get fired because you make too much. And then they're going to hire somebody that was your age when you got hired to do your job. And so now people are like starting, you know, second or third careers in their 40s. And it's tough because like you feel a little old. You feel just a tad bit old when people are 20 years younger than you doing the same thing. And, you know, there's just stupid shit going on. Luckily, I'm a pop culture nerd, so I kind of stay relevant. And when I toss out some, you know, some crazy comments, people are like, oh, man, it's you know, you got some knowledge. I'm like, listen, I'm only talking about like Good Times or Sanford and Son. I mean, it's not like I'm a genius level here, but I just watch a lot of TV, so I know a lot of things to say. But yeah, so, you know, you got people getting fired. You got people, you know, getting divorced, you know, and starting over there too. And I mean, that was always around, but like, you know, getting divorced in your 40s, like I couldn't imagine dating right now. It'd just be bizarre. And then, you know, I mean, nobody's ever prepared for people getting sick, but like I've had some friends get cancer. I've had some friends pass away. You know, your friends start dying in your 40s, which is all, you know, what has happened to other generations as well. I mean, these things are not new. But what is kind of different is that, you know, my generation is starting to have kids later. So instead of like getting out of college or getting out of high school and having a kid right away and then being done by like 38 or 40, you know, because you're, you know, kids off to college and this is when people are supposed to have their midlife crises or crises. I don't have fucking time for that shit. You know, I've got three kids and, you know, we got bills to pay and we got all the other things to think about. Like, who has time for a midlife crisis right now? You know, because I sure as hell don't. And then I don't really know what that means, you know, because everybody has like a certain, you know, the humans have like cycles and they go through things and there's needs and wants and whatever they want to know. But like, what does it mean to like not have that point in time? Like, am I, you know, I can't buy a sports car and try to make myself feel better. I have a minivan and I'm full of kids and stuff like that. I mean, it's not depressing. I'm not depressed on my end, but I mean, just like, it cracks me up seeing people at different levels and stuff like that. And you know, it's just different, you know, and there was no class or no job you could take that would be like, hey, you know, no midlife crisis. You're going to get fired from your job. You know, and then it's going to be starting over in a crazy world. And luckily, I've stuck around. Like, I went to college in 93, 94, and I goofed off. So I didn't graduate until, you know, 15 years later. But I went to school the whole time. So I saw, like, the evolution of colleges or the evolution of technology in colleges. So I mean, there's some of my friends that are a little bit older that aren't as tech savvy as I am, but like the fact that I just stayed in school and stayed around it and everything like that. There's the people a little bit older than me that are just like been doing their job for 20 years. And then it's like, bam. And, you know, then like, oh, I got to learn technology. And, you're listening to this and you're like listening to technology and you're a tech person because you're listening to podcasts. So, I mean, like, it's hard to comprehend. It's definitely hard for me to comprehend. But then I see my mom and dad, like, you know, my father-in-law try to do something and they're just like, I don't get it. And I'm like, oh, I get it. I get it. There's somewhere between me and them where there's people in the middle. I mean, again, if somebody asked me to do Snapchat right now, I'd be like, I don't really know what you're talking about. And, I know I definitely fell out of Madden a long time ago because it just got too complicated. You know, I mean, I'm a tech mobile guy, you know, AB, you know, pass, you know, deep ball, catch it, go from there. But these are all the emotions that I had going on in my head about being 40 and being in my 40s. So then I read this book, Die, number one, and I was like, holy shit, this book represents my feelings. And Stephanie Hans's work in this book is just gorgeous. I mean, like, it is, there's a difference. When I say gorgeous, there's multi-levels of gorgeous, but this is kind of in the, how do I put it? This is in the Alex Ross kind of gorgeous. Like, she is not Alex Ross, but the pages are painted and there are some like amazing splash pages in there. And the emotion and the depth that are in these paintings that she's doing is just brilliant. And the covers are brilliant. And just the panel layout is pretty exceptional. How they where everybody gets their own die, that's the way it's cut up. It's just like, ooh, this is going to be dark. This is going to be eerie. And then just the way it's lit, it just is pretty impressive. And like, they just, the shot angles, like, you know, there's some downward angles that, you know, makes you feel small and, you know, useless, and they take advantage of that. And there's feelings in these shot angles that are just brilliant and gorgeous. And the artwork in this book is definitely something that stands out, because it's different. It's different than most comic books. You know, I mean, it gets definitely different than a Marvel and DC comic book. If you pick one of those up, you're like, oh, this is an Image comic book, you know, where there's, and I love saying that because Image comic is just a wide spectrum of just talent all over the place. But like, you know, even picking up the book, you're like, oh, where does this fit in? Like, this is, it could fit in over Dark Horse. And maybe Boom. But you just pick it up and you're like, oh man, this is an Image comic. And I can't believe how far they came from Savage Dragon's girlfriend getting blown up in the last page of issue 4 of the miniseries. Did I tell you how much that really emotionally scarred me back in the day? Actually, I don't think it did. It emotionally scarred me like 10 years ago when I reread it. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I read this book as like a teenager. And just was like, oh my God. Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know. Below 15, I don't know. It was different times. You know, girlfriends don't explode. I guess now they do all the time. But this book, man, it is gorgeous. It is a very gorgeous. I'm just scrolling through the panels and just the layouts and everything. And then they tell you it's kind of like a goth Jumanji. So you kind of, in your head, you got that kind of understanding of what's going on with Jumanji. And when they go over to the Jumanji world, the book transitions so well color-wise. And it's just, you get a nice, like, oh, this is something that's amazing that's going on. And then you land in that world and you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to see what happens in this world. And since it's an ongoing series, it's going to be massive. It's going to be really good. And the transition of the main characters into the Jumanji world and their different outfits and what they are, heroes and everything, it's good. I highly recommend this book. And this book really, and again, I feel bad that I didn't have an opinion about Gillian, but now I do. And it's going to make me want to read more of his stuff. And there's just a few lines in it where, you know, what does he call her? He calls one of the moms. So here's a line. I just viewed her as a bourbon biscuit dispensing machine and the only person outside my family to use my first name. Bourbon biscuit dispensing machine. And I'm from the States. I don't know what the hell a bourbon biscuit is. I actually felt like inadequate because I didn't. I was like, maybe I should know what a bourbon biscuit is. But then I looked it up and I was like, oh, it's a biscuit that goes in your tea. And it was ranked like the number 9 preferred method of dunking teas. And I don't know, by a survey, some crazy survey. You look up the bourbon biscuit. You don't know what it is. Then you, as soon as you see a picture, you're like, oh, I know what a bourbon biscuit is. But I was like, I apologize for all the likes. And he was like, and she was like, and bam. No. When I was bartending at Giordano's, I had a lovely patron bring us each Christmas year baked goods. And, you know, there's usually like rum balls, but she would make them with Maker's Mark. She would make us bourbon balls. And I know that that sounds awful, but they were amazing. And I've never gotten like wasted off of, you know, basically a box of Munchkins before, but that's what I did. I did. That was a hangover and a half right there. It was the bourbon balls when I worked at Giordano's. Yeah, that's just not, that soundbite is just not going to play well in the future. I should go back and like edit all the sound bites and bring up some stuff back, you know, back in the day. So we've been doing this for almost 3 years. It's been more than 3 years now. Yeah, we're 2018, 19. Yeah, we're working on year four. That's 162 episodes. I feel like that's it. Yeah, that we're definitely past the 3 year mark, closing in on the 4 year mark. So drink your Coors Light if you're going to drink Coors Light. I don't know. But the artwork is like a 4.5. The writing is a 4.5. Lettering, there's a few color, you know, color differences in it that I wouldn't have done choices. I probably would have tried to find something else to fit better. My biggest thing was like thought balloons is I don't want them to look like stickers on the page. I want them to kind of blend in so that you can read it, but it also doesn't look like it's sticker on the page. And this is kind of like right in the middle of the two where it's like, it's not there, but it is there. But also I'm looking at a digital copy of the book where it's a little bit brighter. It's a little bit more, you know, the colors aren't bled together or anything like that. So it's tougher. So I need to see this in person before I critique the lettering that much. But, you know, there's a lot of dialogue, a lot of moving parts, a lot of emotion. And, you know, so the lettering is decent. It's not gonna distract you. But, I mean, I'm just looking at it. I mean, I'm looking at every like word balloon and how the things are laid out. Like, does it cover up any amazing artwork in it? And, you know, does it follow everything? Do you have to like look around? I apologize. Too many Coors Lights going on here. I mean, it's just one actually. Do I get lost and I have to look for a panel here and there? And I do not. I mean, and I'm scrolling through the book. Clayton Cowles did the letters. And I mean, that's a name brand right there. So Clayton did a good job. I just wasn't a fan of the red on the boxes. And I'm sure it looks better on an actual printed book because it won't be as bright. But man, this is a book that you gotta put it on your pull list. Check it out. Stick around for the first story arc. See who kicks the bucket because it's a good opening for a horror film or just a film in general. I enjoyed it very much. So what are you guys having for Thanksgiving dinner? You know, send me a tweet, send some pictures. I want to see some pictures of what people are eating for Thanksgiving. My dad's he doesn't like turkey. So we're doing a spiral cut ham and we are doing some snow crab legs. I'm a big fan of Crab Fest. Sometimes you can get them really cheap from whatever store you're going to. Up north we had a Jewel. Down here we got Publix. Oh, I should check the Winn-Dixie to see what the prices are. Just don't tell my wife. We won't get sick. If we get sick, I'll tell you. But we won't get sick. It's frozen. I'll have to check the Winn-Dixie. Winn-Dixie might be cheaper. I usually wait for them to go on sale at Publix. Whenever I see them on sale, I'm like, I'll grab like, they'll go for like $7.99 a pound. And I was like, oh, I'll take 5 pounds. And you have 5 pounds of snow crab legs, like that's you get three people and you're just like, it's a good time. Cause it's one of those things where you can just like grab a bottle of wine and you know, you melt your butter and you don't really need another side, maybe some bread or something to go with the wine. But then you just slowly eat the crab legs. If you steam them well and you bring the whole pot over, they're warm. The first one The last one is as warm as the first one. So I highly recommend, if you like crab legs, to invest in a giant pot so you can steam them and you wait for them to go on sale and then you cook them. It takes like 15 minutes. And then you just sit back with a nice beverage and you spend an hour talking with your friends, eating some crab legs, and it is some of the best times I've ever had. It's a staple. It is a solid staple, but it also keeps my mom happy because she likes crab legs. And so, yeah, we're having the ham, the surf and turf, the odd surf and turf of ham and crab legs. I don't know how that's going to work out. Luckily, I'll have a bottle of Dewars waiting for me to just cleanse the palate between things. I don't know. I might try to find some good bread so I can have a nice ham sandwich. Bread's key too. So, but send me some pictures of what you guys are eating on Thanksgiving. You can send it to Monkeys Fighting Robots. I'm on Twitter. It's at monkeys_robots, or I'm at Matthew Sardo. It's very simple. I think if you just type in Matthew Sardo, I should come up. I don't know. What's my picture of these? I gotta update my Twitter image. Monkeys Fighting Robots is very simple. It's just a monkey. But me, what do I got going on? It's me and Stan. It's Stan and I. That was last year, almost a year and a half ago now, at MegaCon Tampa. Yeah, it's sad that he's gone. I'm going to miss that guy. Not that I ever really, I mean, I stood next to him, but we didn't meet. And I felt really bad about purchasing that ticket and making him feel like a cage monkey. So I hope he don't haunt me. I mean, I don't know. Do I want to be haunted by Stanley? If you're Stan, if you're not like mad, I wouldn't mind if you haunted me. But if you are mad, I don't really want any mad ghosts haunting me. And plus, thanks to Stan Lee and other, like Stan Lee and Steven Spielberg. And I'm trying to think who else is another big, huge impression on my imagination. I mean, probably Mr. Rogers, some Sesame Street, Electric Company. Yeah, I probably did it. But like, I think if you, all those five have like destroyed my imagination to where it just runs wild, which, and then in turns makes me scared shitless about everything. So yeah, scared shitless about everything. That's me. Hi, Stan. I miss you. I'm going to, you know, I'll see you someday. I hope. I don't know. You might go to a good place. I might go to a bad place. Or maybe I go to a bad place and you go to a good place. Then it's a good place, right? We're both in the bad place, it's got to be the good place. And because if I get into the bad place, that definitely means a whole bunch of my friends are in the bad place. So it's totally going to be in the good place. Yeah. All right, Stan. I'll see you later. It's been a really long time since I've read a Mark Millar book. I mean, I remember reading Kick-Ass back in the day. I remember his old run with Marvel and what he was doing in 1985. If you haven't read 1985, definitely read 1985. I'm trying to think of what else he worked on. That Keanu Reeves book. He was doing a whole bunch of like short books for Marvel. And the thing I love about Mark Millar is he like gets you into a book as quickly as possible. There is no wasted space in his first issue. Like he gets you in that book as quickly as possible. Mark Millar wrote Prodigy number one. It's one of six. Comes out December 5th. Both of these books come out December 5th. And the artist is Raphael Albuquerque. Not Milwaukee. I don't know. Albuquerque. There's a double Q's in there and it's going to kill me. I apologize, Raphael. John Cassidy worked on the cover B. And who else worked on this amazing book? Let's flip through this tiny little book here. Flipping through. Okay, here we are. Writer, artist, colorist. Marcelo Maiello, the colorist, and Peter Doherty. Shannon Doherty's brother. Probably not. Rachel Fulton was the editor. I feel like I know. Oh yeah, Rachel is the one who sent me this book. I was like, I'm an idiot. I was like, I feel like I know that person. Yeah, it's because we chat on email all the time. It's a strange, strange world. Okay, so Prodigy. How can we talk about this book? Prodigy is the genius guy. There's like, it's a super genius who's got a tad bit of crazy because everything is super genius. And so he, because he's super genius, he's probably like, it's like Tony Stark, but he doesn't have a suit. I think he, like, yeah, it's kind of like more of a, like a really, really billionaire Sherlock Holmes. I think that's where I'd put it, you know, because he's just, if there is, when you're a genius at that level or that type of genius, the social norms just go out. And it's not that he's being rude. He's just, again, when I talk about Mark Millar and there not being any wasted panels in a first issue, his main character, Professor Edison Crane, or Edison as everybody calls him in the book, or Sir, he doesn't waste time because he's working on a million things at a time. Like, you know, whether he's doing, you know, 20 games of chess at the same time, or, you know, surgery, or, you know, crazy stunts, or this or that. Like, he's compacting as much stuff as possible in the moment so that he can, you know, probably because his brain would overload if he had time to think too much. He probably has fear of missing out. And he's definitely YOLO. You only live once, man. Like, Professor Edison is like the epitome of YOLO. Like, they really should rename this book instead of Prodigy. They should rename it YOLO. Like, I think that would like be the greatest thing ever. But no, man, like, Mark Millar just like throws you in the middle of it, and just gives you a full-blown origin in like 6 pages of insane origin, crazy shit. And I mean, that's the thing, is Millar like doesn't, he, I guess he's trying to push the envelope, I think. I don't know if he's trying to push the envelope anymore, but like, he just comes with some crazy shit and he just pushes it out. Like, I would love to talk to him and be like, listen, do you just have stories just like oozing out of your body that like you have to get rid of, or you're going to die if you don't tell these stories? Like, I ask people, like, did you want to do this, or did you have to do this? And I feel like he's a have to, like, I have to do this because like it, the shit is just building up in my brain and I have to get it out. But no, I mean, he definitely always brings together like original characters that are kind of borrowed from everything else, but like, man, it is just a gorgeous book. And like, Raphael has a really awesome style to his work, and the expressions and the certain amount of cartoonism to it, like, it definitely has a Boondock Saints to it. Not Boondocks, the Boondocks. There's a Boondocks element to it as well. You know, it's a full-blown action movie. You know, the cinema level on Millar's book is really high. Where, like, again, I'm comparing, you know, Die number one to this one. Like, Die is a comic book where, like, they use the panels in different artistic ways, and the way the painting unfolds and everything that moves, there's like a depth to the page itself. Where, like, you read a Mark Millar book or you read Prodigy, aka YOLO, there's a cinema quality to the panel breakdown where you're like, oh, this is how it would look on Netflix. This is how it would look, you know, Netflix bought them. So, I mean, like, everything is set up to be a show or to be a film. And, you know, 6-issue run is probably going to be, you know, could be 10 episodes. I don't know. Oh man, I gotta pull my shit together, guys, because I'm gonna go see Creed late tonight. Because this is Tuesday night, and I'm going to, you know, I can't not see a Rocky movie opening night. The press screening was last night, and I started playing hockey on Monday. So, but I gotta start till 9:20 right now. It's gonna be 11 o'clock showing. Probably not getting home till like 1:30. Yeah, I'm gonna be really tired tomorrow. That's all I'm gonna say. Really tired tomorrow. But the cinema quality in this book is just brilliant. Like, it's just the way the panels are formed and every pose. Like, when this does become a movie or when this becomes a series, I'm going to get goosies every time I see certain shots that resemble the comic book, because like I love, there's some angles that are used in this that are brilliant. You know, like there's some like drone footage in there. There's a lot of really good stuff in here. And then there's the coloring in this. Who did the coloring in this? Marcelo Mayo? Maye? Olo? I apologize. But I'll go with Marcelo. Mayelo. Yeah. I probably should get better at these pronunciations. But like, you know, the thing that's awesome is that the comic books are no longer just, you know, coming from the States or coming from the UK. Like it is, artists are coming from all over the place. I'm hoping that they're getting paid the same as artists in the United States. But I love that, like, there's an international flair to comic books now. Like, Humberto Ramos doing Spider-Man, like, there's a flair. And you get that same flair with Raphael. Like, it is good. There's a really good flair to it. And the Boondocks feel to it is just awesome. Like, it's just so good. Oh, and then the color, like the colors, there's always like a spot color where something pops on the page where you're like, there's this, the brightest, you know, whether it's like a bright red or, you know, maybe like a purple, you know, like even like, and so you got some blues and then you got like an orange there popping out there. Like there's always some form of extreme color, like a green that pops out and like all the tans, like it's just. There's some really good stuff in this, and I always say that certain actors put on an acting clinic, and Millar puts on a first issue clinic. Like, this is how you do a first issue, like top to bottom. You give some amazing poses, you give some amazing looks, you know, you give some one-liners, and, you know, you give a really compelling story. That just gets you hooked and you're like, okay, I need issue 2 now, like right now, like extremely, like right now in my hands. Okay, so I'm going to give little Marky's going to get a 4.5 for writing. I'm going to give Raphael a 4.5 for the artwork. And I really like the colors. Marcelo, this is where I'm like at 4 or 5. Yeah, it's a 4.5. And the lettering's really good. So he's going to get 4. I don't think there's anything like inventive with the lettering. Like it's just a standard lettering. Oh man, I really love this panel. There's a panel in the book where there's a motorcycle crashing and there's a guy crashing at the same time. But the guy crashing is ahead of the panel. So he breaks the panel. But like, the motorcycle's crashing at the same time, but like his crash is the motorcycle's crash is contained in the panel where the guy crashing is not. So like it's coming out of the page to you. Like it's a subtle little thing that you won't notice right away, but when you analyze the panels, you're like, damn, that is just good stuff. And there are definitely some like the way they color like flashbacks to like modern times, and like just there's little things that you get that artists can do, and letterers and colorists and inkers and everybody can do, where there's like, you know, you give 100%, but then there's some that are like, hey, let's take it to 110%. Let's see what we can do. How can we push this envelope here? Like, where's a little bit more? And there's a little bit more in this book, and that's what I really like. And the pacing is just amazing. It's just phenomenal, and I'm interested to see where this book goes. I mean, it's gonna be really good. So I would. So issue 2 is coming out January 9th. So okay, December 5th for this. I'm just sitting back, like enjoying this artwork here, and you should too. So. Both books, Die Number 1 comes out December 5th, Prodigy Number 1, Die is an ongoing series where Prodigy is 1 of 6. I would definitely stick around with Die for the first story arc and see where that goes, because that's going to be pretty impressive. now it's time for me to quickly edit this and go see Rocky. That's my plans. What are you guys doing for the holidays? I mean, Wednesday night before Thanksgiving is one of the biggest drinking holidays of all time. Plus, you're going to have new comic books. Oh, my gatos. Whew. And I'm probably going to like binge watch something as well. I'm like halfway through She-Ra, Princesses of Power. And I went back and I watched the first She-Ra. And oh my God, that is a train wreck of train wrecks. But I do love now watching the new one and seeing how they've evolved the train wreck concepts into something a little bit more cohesive. But it is still bonkers. And I'm in my head, I want to see better animation. But the animation in this, because I like Voltron. I like Voltron and that DreamWorks is doing. And if they just stayed in that form and did the little crazy anime every once in a while, I think that would have been a gorgeous, it would have been a gorgeous animated series as well. But I mean, this is, it's She-Ra Princess of Power. Princesses of Power is not designed for me. So whenever I critique it, I hollowly critique it because it's not designed for a 42-year-old. Am I entertained during it? Yes, that's the bonus. Did my kid like freak out when the girl turned into She-Ra the first time? Yes. So they did something right. They know their audience because the audience is not for me. Like if I love Princess of Power and I was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. I can't believe what they're doing, blah, blah. Netflix should be worried because they should not be trying to like make me happy. They should be trying to make my like daughter happy and like other daughters happy and crazy stuff like that. But it's interesting. It's fun. There is some deep, there's some deeper stuff going on there, you know, which is good. And that's why I like it. So, check it out. It's crazy, but, definitely, you know, you're going to go to your comic book store tomorrow, and go there and tell them like, listen, put Prodigy on my list, put Die on my list because Matt Sardo from Monkey's Fight Road said like, it's the shit. It's the jam. It's the jam of jams. Oh, the jam of jams. It's the jam of jams. But everybody enjoy their holiday. You know, don't stand in line for Black Friday sales. Don't trample anybody at Walmart. Like just, you know, be nice to people. Like this isn't a time when Santa Claus is really fucking watching you. So if you're not good, he's going to know. And you're going to go on a list of presidential candidates. Hoo-ha! The jokes are coming. Just be nice to everybody. You know, don't go to Walmart and trample people. Like that always bothers me a lot when people are jumping over stomping on people. I don't know what you guys, what everybody's doing, but like just idiots, you know. Friday, if you're off, just hang out with your family, man, or just read your comic books. Like you saving $5 is not, there's nothing in the world that you need to where you need to like the chance of getting run over at Walmart, like by some insane psychopath. I don't know. It's going to be crazy. But yeah, that's it. That's what I got. I'm going to eat some turkey. No, I'm not. I'm going to eat some turkey. I'm going to find some turkey. I'm going to eat some ham. I'm going to eat some snow crab legs and I'm probably going to find some chocolate pie. I'm going to watch a Bears game early and then I'm just going to own it, man. I'm going to own that day. I'm so excited for Thanksgiving. I hope you guys have a great time. And you know, if you're not with your family, go find your friends. If you're not with your friends, just go find somebody. Like, go find somebody and be like, listen, are you, you're not doing anything for Thanksgiving? What are you doing? You want to go to 7-Eleven or Subway and get a turkey sandwich? Let's get a turkey sandwich. You know, but like, definitely just, you know, Thanksgiving is one of those days where you just own it. I think it was 4th of July. 4th of July, when I first moved to Chicago, I didn't make my friend quota yet. And I just went to the movie theater all day. I got there like 11 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning and just watched movies until like 8 o'clock at night. And I came out and the fireworks were going off. That was a good time too. So, I mean, maybe spend the whole day at the movie theater. Go see Creed. And you can do that too. So, but I'm Matt Sardo. This is Monkey Spidey Robots podcast. I love you guys. I can feel the love from you guys. And, you know, shoot me a line on Twitter because I'm going to be sitting on my couch watching the Bears game. Take care, guys.